Thank you all for coming. I see we have a quite a few people, 30, 40 people on here. So, 44, that's very cool. Really do appreciate it. For anyone who's not aware, my name is JJ Meadow. I'm the president, founder of AT Guys, AT standing for Access Technology. So, we do all sorts of technology products, lots of phone accessories and gadgets and small things. This is probably the biggest thing that we've ever sold in many ways, both size-wise, is a little bit bigger thing. It's sitting on the desk to the left of me, but really one of the most exciting things that we have ever had as well. When the people over at Bristol Braille approached me and asked me if I wanted to sell their canoe, I pretty much jumped out of my chair because this thing has so much potential as a multi-line Braille display. And we're just getting started. It's what I have in front of me is the first iteration of this thing, and it's going to do a lot, and it's just going to keep getting better and better. So I'm very excited. So without further ado, actually I'll give my contact information at the beginning and end for anyone, especially on the recording. You can always email us at support@atguys.com. You can tweet us at atguys. In fact, I have Twitter open, so if you want to send in questions that way, you can always do that. You can call us at 269-216-4798. Remember, we're a small company, so we're not always able to be right by the phone. So please do leave a voicemail, and we try to return them within a day. So, I have to the left of me a canute. I'm actually going to turn it off so you can hear it turning back on in a second. But if you're not familiar, the canute is a 9-line 360 cell Braille display. So it's 40 cells per line and 9 lines total. The Braille lines are spaced a bit more than what you would expect a normal Braille line to be spaced, so maybe a little less than 1.5 spacing. With all of the cells down as I have it sitting right now, each row you can kind of feel the little lines where the cells would be. Probably can't really feel it. My fingers would be across there, but you can feel each of the lines. On the left side, or on the top panel, but on the left, you have several buttons. Top left corner, there is a button labeled H, and yet it's labeled in Braille, of course. It's a circular-ish button. That's H for help. And then you have 10 more buttons, numbered 1 through 0. So 1 through 9 are lined up with the 9 lines of the display, and then the 0 is used for some other menus and things like that. On the top right in Braille, it says BBT Canute 360. On the bottom center, closest to me, there are three labels: back, menu, and forward. And on the front of the unit, so facing you, are the three buttons to match up with those labels: back, menu, and forward. And of course, I'll explain what all this does in just a second. On the back right, or yeah, the back right, you have the power cable. And on right next to the back right, you have a power button. On the left side, you have a variety of ports. So you have an HDMI port, we'll explain that in a second, a 3.5 millimeter audio jack, which currently is not being used, but it's there for perhaps future enhancements. An SD card slot, two USB Type A ports, so those are the ones that you would plug in a thumb drive to, and then a USB Type B. Again, currently not supported, but it very likely will be in the future, as the canoe gets expanded to connect it to a computer. That is the unit itself. It's I'd say about 5 or 6 pounds. So it's a desktop display at the moment. It's not battery operated. It's meant to be plugged into the wall currently. So it's probably 12, 13, 14 inches long. I bought one of those laptop briefcases. It fits perfectly in that for carrying it around. So it's portable in that you can take it with you, but not so portable in that you're just going to set it in front of your computer. So the Canute at this point, its primary function is to read files that you load onto the unit, whether they're in Braille format, BRF, or portable embosser format, PEF. Now, I barely heard of the latter, the PEF format. The BRF is the one that's widely used, and the PEF is something a little newer. But you can load either of those types of format on the unit, and we'll explain how to do that in just a second. So to turn on the unit in the back right, I'm going to press the power button, and I'm actually going to be quiet for a second, and you can kind of hear it. So it's refreshing. Actually, there's a please wait going up there. And now it's setting up each of the lines of Braille. Kind of sounds like an embosser, doesn't it? So this is the initialization sequence that's going on currently. And another about 15 or 20 seconds, it's going to pop up whatever the last thing was that I was reading. Assuming I have the same SD card popped in and the same file. So we're still waiting here just for a quick second. And in just a second, it's going to pop that up on the screen. Right now, the screen is entirely blank. When I say screen, I mean the display is entirely blank. But in just a second, it's going to pop up. And it will read whatever's on the card. So it comes with an SD memory card. And you can load on books or magazines or whatever other format files you want, the BRFs or the PDFs. There we go. Let me wait for just a half second. There it's in. Again, you hear it. So there it goes. It's doing that one line at a time. Now, you don't have to wait for the whole screen to pop up to start reading. You can read that top line as soon as it pops up on the screen. This is actually, I was just playing around with this. One of the really cool things about the Knut is that you can do multi-line spatial information, whether to show people what something looks like or the layout of something. I actually just created before this little presentation, on the top line it says Windows QWERTY keyboard layout, and there's a blank line, and then the line below that it says E, F1, F2, F3, F4, F5, all the way across. And I just went all the way across and put up an entire QWERTY keyboard. So, you know, say you wanted to show someone new what is a keyboard layout, a laptop keyboard. Well, I just loaded this file on here I created in about 5 minutes, a BRF file, and I popped it on the unit. Very simple thing, but as you'll kind of hear as we go along, there's lots of really cool multi-line, multi-sensory information that you can provide here. So there's a whole bunch of ways that you can create BRF files for the Knut, and many of them are free. So if you have Duxbury, the Braille translator, yes, you can create files and put them on here. What you would do is you set up an embosser that is 9 lines by 40 cells. In fact, it already comes with a preset. But there's a whole bunch of free ways you can do it as well. One of those programs is called Braille Blaster from American Printing House. They have a version of that for Windows and for Mac and for Linux. And any of those formats, you can create files for the Knut from Braille Blaster. Again, 9 lines, 40 cells. There is an online service, I have not used it, but it's mentioned in the manual, called RoboBraille, which can also generate files and has a Knut preset. On Bookshare, what you would do is just go to whatever book you want to download, and you tell it that you want to create a book for a 40 cell refreshable Braille display. Now, you won't get page numbers, but that's okay. The Knut can generate its own page numbers and let you kind of move through the book that way. But that's how I took a book from Bookshare and copied it onto an SD card and brought it into the Knut. In fact, because I'm in a state where I can use Newsline, I was able to download today's newspaper, copy it on to the display, and read it from there. Same thing with NLS Bard. Now, those files are created for 25 lines, 40 cells. So you might have a random page number that wouldn't really make entirely a lot of sense reading on the Knut. But that being aside, you can easily get the books from NLS for that. So let me just kind of go through here, show you some of the menus and how this thing works. So I have on the display the file that I was just talking about. If I want to do things with this current book, they call everything books, even if it's not a book or if it's one page, I'm going to press the menu button, and the menu is going to start displaying. Now, again, I can start reading this right now. The top line says Windows QWERTY keyboard. That was the file that I loaded. 1/1. So it tells me it's page 1 of 1. Then below that, it says go to page. There's a couple blank lines. We also have insert bookmark at current page and choose from existing bookmarks, view system menu and view library menu. The really cool intuitive thing about this is if I want to select any one of these things, I just press the numbered button to the left of the line of the item I want to select. So if I want to select insert bookmark, that's next to number 5, and it will let me insert a bookmark. If I want, same thing for choose from existing bookmarks, etc., etc. So I'm going to actually go to the library menu here, which is next to number 9, and that's going to bring up the list of books that I have loaded onto this memory card. Now, incidentally, if I know what number book that I want to load, and I know where it is on the screen, I don't have to wait for this whole menu to come up. I can start pressing a number right away, and it will kind of pause for a second, and then start refreshing the new page. So you don't have to wait for the whole screen to pop up. So now we have on here library menu. It says 1 of 3, so it's 3 pages. And there's a whole bunch of things which kind of demonstrate the Knut's capabilities. Pascal's triangle. That's a math thing that I understand by looking at it, but it's very it's a whole bunch of numbers that are arranged in a triangle, and there's a big numeric thing, and I'm sure some math major could tell you all about it, but you know, trying to see that on a single line braille display, it would make no sense, but trying to put that on here, it makes a lot more sense. We have a Premier League football, I call it soccer, they call it football, standings sheet, or I believe it's a stat sheet. Obviously, these guys over in England, they love their Premier League, but it shows the power of tabular data on the Knut. We have Harry Potter. We have a calendar. Calendars are one of those things that are really good when you can just kind of very easily feel the braille and look at the dates and the months and know exactly where things are. Braille music. Braille music is generally presented in multi-line formats, especially if you're doing more than one part or more than one instrument, or right and left hand for piano. So again, on a single line refreshable braille display, it's really hard to understand that. Incidentally, on the right end of all these, it tells you how many pages are in the file and the page that it is currently on. So Harry Potter Philosopher's Stone, well, it cuts off as Harry Potter Philo Stone. It says it's currently on page 24 of 1,235. Now, because it's a canoe, there are more pages because it's 9 lines per page, not 25. But it calculates that and it tells me where I'm at for Harry Potter. We have a floor plan on here, which actually is pretty interesting. It uses a lot of L's and C's and V's to make lines. And even though they're not contiguous because of the spaces, you can still do some very spatial information. And then, of course, that keyboard that I loaded on before. So I'm going to hit number 5 here, which is the calendar, just to illustrate bookmarks and a couple other things. So right now it's popping up December 2019 calendar. And if you've ever seen one of those braille calendars, you know, like the little booklets that you can buy, it looks just like that. So we have multi-line December 2019 on the top line. It says M12. And then the line below that, it says Mon, Tu, Wed, Thu, Fri, Sat, Sun, and WK for week. And I can easily spatially feel that, okay, December 1st is a Sunday, and so is the 8th and the 15th, and, you know, so I can look at any date here. Christmas is 25, and I could move my hand up to the top line and see, oh, that's Wed. So Christmas, of course, was on a Wednesday. Now, because this was a 12-page file, this is perfect for the bookmarks. So because we have our bookmark feature here, I can press menu, and go to page, actually, is number 2. So go to page lets me jump to any page in the book. And because we have all of our numbers here on the left side, it's easy for me to type in a page number. And I wouldn't have to even wait for that to finish up. So I could say go to page, say, 6. And it puts it up on the screen, and I can press enter. I'm sorry, I press forward. And here comes June 2019. Now, if you don't know what page something is on, you can hit a go to bookmark, and you can set and read bookmarks in the same way. It will set bookmarks for whichever pages or months or whatever you are doing in the book, and then you can go back and read them. The cool thing about bookmarks that I noticed is the bookmark will show you the first line or the line of the bookmark. So you can easily see, okay, where is this bookmark taking me in the book? And you can jump between pages that way. So that's really cool. So I know, for instance, that bookmark, the book is menu, and then the number 6. So I can press menu and then press 6 right away. I don't have to wait for that whole menu to come up for the bookmark to register. There's a couple other features worth noting here. The system menu is menu and then 8. And the system menu lets you change between different languages and, of course, grade 1, grade 2 Braille. Now, this is for the display of the items that are on the display itself. The book format, or the books that you load in, are going to be displayed as is. So there's no translator on this thing. The reason we're loading on BRF files or PEF files is because you're doing the translation on the computer side. So you're going to use Braille Blaster or Bookshare or Bard or whatever tool you want to use to create Braille files, and they're going to be up straight on the Knut. All the translation at the moment is done on the computer side, and you bring in the books straight to the Knut. There are a couple other little features that are worth noting. You can plug in a monitor to the HDMI port on the left side, and that'll actually display both print and Braille. So in a school setting or somewhere where you want to see what's going on as far as the Braille or the print, that's a really interesting tool to use. So that is the basic basis of the Knut. Now, this thing is, like I said, it has a lot of potential for especially all the spatial information and tables and music and math. Or mass, as I like to call it over in Britain, which is fine. So I'm really excited to kind of see where this thing goes. I'm going to answer a couple questions that I know are going to come up before we get any further, and then we'll just open it up for anyone who has questions here. We can kind of play around with it and do some demos as well. So we are taking pre-orders now for the Knut, and we expect end of January to have the shipment coming here. I have been talking back and forth with the people over at Bristol Braille. I have been really, really impressed with the amount of unit tests and quality control that they have been doing on the unit, which is really impressive to me. I know with a new product like this, I understand the angst that can come up with, you know, well, what if this thing doesn't work? Of course, there's going to be a warranty and all that, but you don't want to keep having to send this thing back and forth all over the place. But they have been doing a lot of work on catching what could become, you know, production issues before they get to the customer. They're running all sorts of unit tests and all sorts of quality control tests before this thing ever gets to us. So that's why it's taking a little bit longer than we would have liked. But you know what? I'll trade a couple extra weeks for a rock solid unit. I've actually been using this prototype unit for the past 3 or 4 weeks and have not had any issues at all. The Braille itself, it's pretty, I would say it's strong Braille. Like it definitely feels very comfortable to read. The dots stick out pretty far, maybe a little more than a regular display. They aren't sharp though, so they're pretty easy to read. They don't have any give to them if you try to push down on them. They are definitely stuck in the position that they are in. So I would call it very sturdy as far as the dots when I'm reading across the display here. The next question that always comes up is, when is this going to work with screen readers? Well, it's certainly in the plans, and this unit will be, you know, whatever upgrades come out will come to the units that we're selling now. You won't have to wait and buy the Knut 2. But think about this for screen readers. This is why it's going to take a little bit of time. No one has ever considered or developed a multi-line Braille display before. So there's no drivers for screen readers that are out there. Not even Amtrak has come up with drivers for the Braille display. For the Knut. So there's nothing out there for a multi-line Braille display reader. So you can't just take an existing driver and plug it in. So, and there's a few things to think about. Okay, the way it refreshes, it's more like an embosser than a display. So you may not want to have every single screen of your computer constantly being refreshed onto a display. what would you want to read in Braille from a screen reader? Would you want to be able to hit a button from a web page and then be able to read it on the Knut? Or would you want to be able to send over a table from Excel? These are all things that are potentially possible. There's so many possibilities here. I think part of the time is going to be trying to figure out, you know, how to create an awesome driver for it, and then what are the best ways to go about doing that. Now, if you're really technically inclined, a lot of this stuff is going to be open source, and if you want to play with it and you have interest in that, definitely talk to us and we'll get you in contact with the right people, because I do see a lot of potential for creating that type of stuff. That's pretty much the basics. The price is $24.95. Now, that's a lot of money. Obviously, it's cheaper than, you know, the 40 cell Braille displays, which were $24.95, right? So now we have 9 times the amount of Braille. I think I calculated somewhere around a bit over $1 per dot, or $7 a cell. So it's certainly come down a long way. But I realize it's still not something it's a little more than a cup of coffee. One thing that you can do is, if you order through our website, there's a service from PayPal called PayPal Credit. And you can apply for a 6-month same as cash loan from PayPal. So if you're able to get a credit card, you should be able to also get this as well. Another thing that you could do along the same lines, as many states that have access technology loan programs that do low interest loans and things like that. So that's another way to look at it as well. We have our first batch coming in the next 2 or 3 weeks. We have 2 or 3 slots left. If you want to get one of those units, we have a couple slots left as far as ordering in that first batch. Beyond that, of course, we're happy to get you on the list for future shipments as they come in the spring and the summer. And we'll have them at the summer conventions as well, if you want to come look at one or take a look at it, either in Schaumburg for ACB or in Houston for NFB. So they're definitely going to be around. So I am going to open it up for questions now. If you have a question on the computer, it's Alt-A. On your phone, it's *6. Go ahead and say your name, and then
Marty from Marty coming from Philly.
Hey, Marty.
So this is for a computer. Like, can it be used with a mobile phone?
No, it is a USB display entirely. So everything is done by loading on the books through the memory card, SD. Card or USB. Correct. This is it is designed to be a desktop display.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Yep. No problem.
It's Kelly Sapurja.
Hey, Kelly.
Saskatchewan, Canada. Hello. Regarding documentation, I'm assuming that the manual is included on the device there. Is there also any quick start information included, like, let's say in Braille?
Yes.
Or anything like
that? So there's a quick start in Braille. The manual is on the device, and if you want to read the manual now, it's on the Bristol Braille website, and we'll actually get it posted. Our page for the Knut is atguys.com/Knut, C-A-N-U-T-E, and I'll put a link up to the manual there as well. So you can go over ahead and read it now if you'd like.
Oh, great.
Larry.
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Yep, gotcha.
I didn't know whether my hand went up because I jaws.
It went up and then it went back down and went back up again.
Yeah, it was ringing and I couldn't. Yeah, is the display, is it 6 or 8 dot Braille?
6
dot Braille. Well, that's interesting.
But then, so much of the reason you would need 8 dot Braille is for cursor routing.
Well, I would think also schools and school, you know, with the STEM, with the emphasis on STEM and and math and science, I would have thought 8-dot Braille would have been...
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, and part of it's too, if you add 8-dot Braille, then that's adding a third more dots. So it's one of the ways to keep the price somewhat...
Other people have kind of made unit has made that decision, and I... doesn't bother me, but I would have thought, I'm just kind of surprised. Yeah.
956. I didn't know you could raise hands on the phone. I learn something new every day. Sorry, 951 is that? 951, I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. NVDA was reading the entire number as 1, and I got it. Okay, 951. you're good. Yeah, what you're best to use the one that it comes with. Now you can format other cards to make it work as well. If you're going between a stream and this, the card, Victor has its own idea of where files should be, and this has its own idea of where files should be, namely the root directory. So yeah, I would the thing that I would do, because you can only load in BRFs. Or PEFs, put the card into your computer. It's actually a micro SD inside of an SD card holder, so you could use either in your computer. And then download your BRFs, copy it onto the root directory of the card, and then pop it into the Knute. The other thing you could do is a thumb drive. You do the same thing. You could use a USB flash drive and do the same thing. So... can't is a strong term, you know. There's likely a way, and it's just, you know, the Victor has its own, you know, ideas about where files should be in folders, and so does this. And you know what I'm saying? I would just, for sanity's sake, use the cards that it comes with. Use the card that it comes with, but you can certainly buy more cards. Yeah, that's the thing. In this, yeah, exactly. And you need them in the root directory. Yep. Mm-hmm. Now let me make sure I read this correctly. 518. Hey. Doing good. Yep. So what it's doing, the sound you're hearing, the first, there's two sounds for each line. The first sound is where it's getting rid of the previous text, and the next side, or the next sound is where you hear the new text come up. And as soon as it's done that, you can start reading it. So if I'm reading a book, page by page, what I would do is I would start reading down the page, and when I get down to say about line 6 or 7, I can press the forward button, and the next page will start coming up. So by the time I get down to line 9, I can go straight up to the top and start reading. You don't have to wait, if that makes sense. Exactly. Yep, and that's what you would do. So as you're coming down to the bottom, you'll figure out the timing of what works best for you, depending on your braille speed, and then go from there. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm right. I mean, I'm still new to this as well, but I do like that. I can just kind of sit there and read it more like a book, and I don't have to worry about pressing forward every, especially if you have a smaller one, like a, you know, a 14 or a 20. So, cool. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I should be here.
You are here. Yep. Ray, how you doing, bud?
Yeah, good. So I've got a couple of interesting questions. One is, how would you compare the Braille to, say, you know, some of the other displays? Like, I've seen, obviously, you know, all the traditional displays like Freedoms and stuff, and Hymns, but also you've got stuff like the Orbit Reader. Then I'm thinking, cell-wise, it's similar to that kind of technology.
The Braille is somewhere between, it's definitely stronger than, say, like Braille on a traditional display that you can press on the dots, and they're very flexible and you can push down on them. Unlike the Braille Me, you can't pop the dots down and they'll pop back up, but it does kind of have that more signage Braille characteristic, although I would say that this signage Braille is more, it's sturdier and a little more rounded in the pin, so they aren't poking your fingers as much when you read across. But I would definitely call it a closer to a signage type Braille. But it's pleasant to read if you.
Yeah, yeah, cool. So you can read for a decent length of time.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, I've been
read a whole book.
yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, it's not poking my fingers. I'm just kind of sliding my left hand as I'm talking to you on this calendar.
Yeah. The other thing was you said it was just BRFPDF.
I'm sorry?
You said the file formats were just BRF and PDF.
PEF. Portable embosser
format. Yeah, yeah, right. I was thinking, PDF could cause them.
Right. Now, okay, so that's a good point. So if you have Braille Blaster will do several different formats. I don't think it does PDFs, but it will do DLCX files. It will do EPUBs. It will do some other stuff. So Braille Blaster is one tool that you can use to convert several different formats for free into BRFs.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, no, I've got Duxbury as well, so I've got all.
And Duxbury, yeah, of course you can do lots of Duxbury. Awesome. Thanks, Scott.
Cool.
I have one that just says iPhone.
I think that would be me.
All right. Yep, there you go. You're on.
So once you've reached 9 lines, there's a forward button that just pops up in a new set of 9 lines.
Yeah, so the forward button is facing you in the front. There's the 3 buttons back, menu, forward. And so it's like when my hand's on, say, line about 6, I can take my thumb and reach forward. So I can hit forward before I'm down to the bottom of the screen or the page. And have that next set of 9 come up, if that makes sense.
Okay. The big draw for me would be music. Is the music section at NLS aware of this device? Have they worked with it?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Everything that's on the NLS Braille side, anything that all comes down in BRF.
You know, my problem is I don't have storage space for more Braille scores. I mean, they are digitizing like mad. Braille scores, and it would be nice to read them. Plus, hard copy, after a while, music getting carried around, being read, the paper does wear out. So this device would really meet a need.
And the cool thing about NLS stuff is that all that stuff is already designed for 40 cells per line.
Yes.
So, music is one of those niche but awesome use cases, I think, for this.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Because Braille music is one of those things that's not easy to come about, and I think it has a lot of potential.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost impossible to read Braille music on a single line display unless you're just reading a vocal part or something like that. And even then, you wouldn't be able to read the words and the music simultaneously.
Absolutely.
You know, so I probably would eventually get something like this.
Well, awesome. Aiden Kaiser, go ahead.
Oh, hi, I was muted. Okay. Hi, there how are you?
Hi.
Okay. Here's a question I have. I don't know how much sense this is going to make, but, you know, I was mentioning I was studying astrology, and sometimes I'm sent tables, in PDF or other kinds of formats or even maybe Excel or whatever. Is there a way to get those, like, tables into Braille? Or, like, how will it come out? Will it come out in the, like, Braille Blaster, or would I need something like Duxbury?
So, like I said at the beginning, right now you can do BRFs and PES. Now, as far as, say, like an Excel file, somebody would need to, and there's no reason why somebody couldn't, write some sort of program to convert, say, an Excel file or a CSV file to a table that you could read on this. It wouldn't be hard to do at all. It's somebody with a bit of programming skills or someone who knows how to create Braille files would need to create that. Once that's done the first time, then you certainly could, bring in those types of files. I hope to really help foster, along with the great people at Bristol, a community of some open source tools to create some very simple either web tools or apps or whatever that people could use to create files. I was looking at doing a word searches earlier tonight and trying to create a little tool that would just create multi-line word searches that would just be fun to play with, or Sudoku boards or just random things like that. So can it be done? Absolutely. I don't know of an existing tool yet that you can specifically feed an Excel file and it will drop out a BRF table. But there's no reason why this couldn't be a possibility, if that makes sense.
Okay, what if it's on a PDF or something, and it's just like in rows and columns? Will that translate?
You could try, yeah. I mean, PDFs you'd want to bring in, say, through Duxbury or some other program. Now, sometimes the problem with some of that stuff is it's going to try to eliminate all the spaces.
Oh, okay. So, see, I've never done. I'm not that familiar.
Yeah,
like
I said,
most of the time I've just converted Word files, mm-hmm. you know, with, or I've done, you know, obviously already created
right.
music files from Goodfeel. You know,
there's
so
no
I
reason
can
why
that.
It couldn't happen. You know, like I said, at the moment it's going to take some manual intervention, but it's certainly these are the types of things that you know we're kind of. It's a bit of a new frontier, kind of thinking about how to do some of these things and make them work, which I think is really. But there's definitely yeah. lots of possibilities there.
Definitely interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
So I'm Alira from New Jersey, and well, actually, I have two questions. So number one, what size SD card does this come with? And number two, can I fit it on my lap? Like if I were to plug it in and try to read on the couch?
Yes, to the latter. It'd be a little heavy. So it, if you ever seen like an old laptop from the 90s, it's about 6 pounds. You certainly could fit it on your lap. It's going to be a little wider than your lap, but you could do it. I believe it comes with a 32 as far as an SD card. And of course, you could get other cards or whatever. The trick, the reason I was a little hesitant on the question earlier is, you know, when you're putting in the cards in different devices, you know, going between this and a stream back and forth could create some confusion. But you can buy any SD card and pop it in as well. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, my name is Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, quick question. So you were talking about the pushing the forward button when you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that work? When you push forward, does it just jump ahead 9 lines or does it
exactly. Line? Yep, that's exactly it. So I am on this, I'm still on the calendar actually, the June 2019, but right now I just press forward and now July 2019. Now say I wanted August, I could press forward right now, and I just did. And now it's kind of in the middle of boarded July, and now it's popping up August. So you can actually press it a few different times if you know you need to jump ahead 3 pages. It will just take an extra second or two for it to catch up on the refresh rate, but you can skip ahead or back several pages by pressing forward or back a few different times at once.
I have kids, though, so like if I were reading to the kids, and mm-hmm. I got down to line 9 and I hit the forward, the first line would pop up so I could start reading while the other line
exactly.
was passed, right?
In fact, I press forward when it gets to line 7 or 8, depending on how fast you read Braille. Because then by the time you get to line 9, you already have lines 1 and 2 or 3 on the next page coming up.
Oh, yeah, I got you. Okay, so mm-hmm. it doesn't drop them all out. It just rolls through.
Nope, it drops out one at a long line at a time. The other thing about that is if it only needs, you know, if it's only half a page, it'll go faster. So if it's only refreshing one line, it can just refresh a line at a time. So.
Right. Okay, cool. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I see Renee.
Yeah, hey. Did you say the price was $2,400? Or you said $2,495.
$2,495, and that's free shipping.
That's pretty good for, I mean, $2,000.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, you're looking about $7 a cell, where uh-huh. your typical one's about $80 a cell.
Hey, Jesus, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Yeah, is the card slot? I'm a little confused. Is the card slot an S? Is it a conventional SD slot or is it a micro?
Yes, it's an SD slot. The unit they shipped me happened to come with a micro card in an SD slot.
So you could put a conventional SD
yes.
card in it. You
absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a full size card slot, and it's
kind of thought so, but
yep,
just wondering.
Left side, middle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder, does this thing have any potential for, like, not just Braille, but, like, like 3D objects? I mean, could somebody, like, a tactile, let's say you wanted to display, I don't know, a table or, like, a model of a table, or somebody had a picture or something? I wonder if they're developing anything like that.
It's certainly possible. You know, I've seen some very simple, I have a couple of demos on here, a floor plan demo. You know, the only limitation being that you have some space in between each line. So,
yeah,
but to get past that, anything that you can represent on a piece of Braille paper in a 9x40 grid, you could theoretically do. All BRF files are, for anyone who's tech inclined, is, you know, one character per line. So, if you wanted to generate files that had up to 40 characters and up to 9 lines, you can do that and load them on here. So it's a pretty simple way to do that.
No, it's about the same price as, I guess, a Freedom thing.
Yeah. Hi, this is Marcia.
Hi, Marcia.
How you doing, JJ? But anyway, good. You were mentioning the possibility of upgrades and so on, so you wouldn't have to buy an entirely new unit. Have they addressed the issue yet of how these upgrades and so on would be conveyed?
So I haven't done an upgrade yet myself. I'm assuming it's going to be something simple where you load on new firmware.
Well, I mean, but you can't access anything on the computer, so they'd have to either send you out a new card or... I was just kind of curious.
Well, yeah, I mean, I mean, this is pure speculation. I don't know, but I'm guessing it's be some sort of deal where you copy it onto the card, put it in the unit, press a button, and go from there. So that would be my guess. I mean, I haven't gone through one of them yet, but since you can pop a memory card into the unit, that's going to be my guess on how we're going to be upgrading it as well.
Can you write with it? Can you write in Braille? Does it have a keyboard or no? It's just reading.
Correct. Right. So the only buttons you have on it are the 10 on the left, the 11 on the left, H 1 through 0, and then the 3 in the front.
Okay. So it's just a read.
Yep. It's they call it a multi-line e-reader.
Exactly
what it's called.
This is Wes Majerus here, and I'm curious about any hardware issues. How will servicing be handled?
So I think the eventual goal is to have somewhere in the U.S. that's going to do service, because we don't want to have to keep sending these back to England. Those plans are still being finalized at the moment. In the meantime, if there were an issue with a unit that we sold, we will just do a swap. That way you're not waiting for months and months to get something fixed.
Cool.
Because, yeah, we know how that can be, and we don't want to... You're spending a lot of money on something like that, so we definitely want to, you know, take care of anyone who gets one of these. So.
Well, hi, JJ. My name is Joshua. For some reason, I really didn't get to hear a lot of the presentation because when I came into the meeting and I was wearing the Bluetooth headset, the audio just would not come through. I do not know why, but it wouldn't. But anyway, my question is this display portable, or do you have to have it plugged in order to use it?
You have to have it plugged in. Like I said, yeah, you do have it plugged in for now. And like I said, yeah, this will be recorded, it has been recorded, so you can.
Sure. Okay.
We'll be able to go back and hear the parts that you missed later on.
Yes, it is not. It's not a port. It's not a portable. It has to be plugged in.
You can carry
in.
It,
okay.
But
you can carry it.
You have to plug it in.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yep.
This is Terry JJ from Illinois. The one thing that is a concern for me is the noise of the cells popping up and down. Are they addressing that issue at all, or is that?
So yeah, I think at the moment it is what it is. I would say the noise isn't. I wouldn't call it loud. It's certainly not as loud as an embosser. It's certainly louder than a refreshable Braille display. I haven't run a decimal meter or anything like that to
get the yeah effect. No, I get that,
you know, right. I'm certainly able to talk over it, you know. It wouldn't be any louder than, say, a printer in an office. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact probably a little quieter than that. It's not too loud. There's nothing being done to try to make it quieter at the moment, but.
Okay, yeah, because I'm thinking like in an office situation or a classroom situation, if you're reading a, you know, textbook or something.
Yeah, I think it depends in part on the office, and then, you know, as far as classrooms, and obviously it wouldn't be too loud that it's going to cover up the sound of the teacher's voice. I had a Perkins Brailler in the classroom, and it was, you know, it was an accommodation that was allowed for me, and as long as I wasn't pounding it while the teacher was talking, it was certainly...
Right, those are louder.
Right, yeah. So.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, Gigi, this is Jeremy again. I had a quick question.
Yeah.
How does this thing charge? Does it charge by USB?
It's just plug-in. It's plug-in at the moment, so there's no charging.
Okay. I was just wondering if you could hook it up to, like, a portable battery bank.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's certainly something that could be done in the future, I'm sure, but at the moment... there's no, it's just plugged in, so.
Okay, thanks.
Cool. Any more?
JJ, this is Larry again.
Hey, Larry.
Since we seem to be, you know, not having too much of a flood of questions, I will comment that I think I have heard some presentations from Bristol on, I don't know whether it might have even been something on your site, yes, some months ago, where they were producing graphical information on the unit. They actually were doing pie charts and XY graphs and things like that.
Yeah, and I have some demo stuff on here. So it's certainly possible as far as what you can do on here. There's lots of things that, you know, some of the demo files, the Pascal's triangle, the floor plans. Yeah, absolutely. There's no reason why you can't create that stuff. Like I said, BRF is just a format that uses 40 cells per line, 9 lines per page.
Yeah, making objects like that reminds me when typing class, when we typed all the X's and O's and things to make Christmas trees and all.
Yep, other yeah, things. Sure, right. We could create some things like that, and you know, I'd love to, you know, see some sort of repository. I'd love to see some sort of repository for that stuff. That'd be really cool, as far as doing graphics and stuff like that. So. Last call for questions.
I have a question.
Yep.
One more, sorry.
You're fine.
This is Alira again, and forgot what I was gonna say. If you save, so obviously if you save anything onto an SD card, the device will save it for you. But say if you put a book on a memory stick, like a thumb drive, will it save it? Does the device have the capability to save anything that's on a thumb drive? Or do you have to take the thumb drive out and then you lose your files?
So remember, okay, so this is reading, so you're not doing any writing to it. When you copy a book to a thumb drive or an SD card, you insert the card or the thumb drive, and then you can go into the library, and it will display the list of books. Now, the only thing that gets saved are bookmarks, and it will also remember the last page. That is done on the card, on the SD card, in little text files, which you could actually edit if you wanted to get in the weeds and do it that way. But that's how the bookmarks and things like that are saved. On the cards. The only thing you just got to make sure is that you, at the moment, you have to copy things into the root directory of whatever device you're plugging in. There's no folder structure, at least at the moment, supported. So.
Okay.
Yep. Did you have a question, Renee? Or is hand is sitting there? One last call for questions, but otherwise, we'll, of course, we have our email and phone and stuff as well.
I just have one quick question. This is Mary Beth.
Go ahead, Mary.
Where are the cells manufactured?
I don't have that exact answer. I know Bristol Braille is doing, they are working directly with a manufacturer that is building to their specifications. Okay. So they're not using somebody else's cells. They have, this whole entire process is they're doing. So.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Yep. It's definitely a new kind of technology. So it's not just like KGS cells or something like that from the past.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, cool.
Not the usual suspects.
Awesome. So thank you so much, everyone, for coming by. I'll just give contact information, everything again, and I'll be around for a couple minutes after as well. But you can always email us, support@atguys.com. That's our website as well, atguys.com, where you can get the Canute or any other products that we sell on our website. If you want to call us or talk to us over the phone, leave us a message at 269-216-4798, or you can also send us an email. Let us know a good time to call you. We're on Twitter @ATGuys, Skype @ATGuys, Facebook also @ATGuys. Seems to be a common theme there. So we are on any of those things as well. Thank you so much. Of course, if you're not familiar, we do have a podcast as well, the Blind Bargains Podcast, where we do lots of technology demos and cool stuff. Myself and Joe Steinkamp and others produce that, and we'll be doing new episodes again for 2020 coming in the next weeks and beyond. So that's over at blindbargains.com. That's going to do it, folks. I'm going to stop the recording here. So thank you so much for coming by. I'll be around for a couple more minutes if anyone has questions. And I do appreciate everyone who came in. Have a good night.